I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's March 26th, and we have a lot to talk about. We're just 2 days away from Progressive MS Day. And as someone who's been affected by progressive MS, my wife Jean lived with progressive MS for 23 years, this day holds some special significance for me. Joining me to talk about what Progressive MS Day is all about is Kevin Reed. Kevin was diagnosed with MS in 2002, and he's on a mission to crush MS. But before we get to my conversation with Kevin Reed, there are a few other things that you should know about. As MS Awareness Month draws to a close, I want to invite you to check out the video series of short conversations I had with some of the experts who were in Milan this past fall, presenting at the 2023 ECTRIMS Congress. ECTRIMS is an acronym for the European Committee for Treatment and Research in MS, and their annual scientific congress is the largest MS research conference in the world. What makes this video series a little different is that I Conquer MS invited folks who are living with MS to watch these videos, and then I interviewed them to get their perspective on the topics that the experts were discussing. It's the first time you'll not only hear from the experts, but you'll also get the thoughts and reactions of people who are living with MS. If you'd like to catch this video series, you'll find a link in today's show notes. ACTRIMS is an acronym for the Americas Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, and their annual forum is where scientists, research fellows, and clinicians gather to share novel, cutting-edge MS research. The 2024 ACTRIMS Forum took place last month in West Palm Beach, Florida, and this year, for the very first time, ACTRIMS hosted two webcasts specifically for people affected by MS. I had the honor of moderating the second of these two webcasts, and if you missed catching the live stream, you can still watch the video replays of both of these excellent presentations. You'll find the link to those video replays in today's show notes. As most of you well know, MS is a demyelinating disease. Myelin is the fatty substance that wraps around nerve fibers and helps them transmit messages throughout our bodies. And it's the loss of myelin that leads to loss of function. Myelin repair, or remyelination, holds a promise of restoring that lost function. As we've often discussed on this podcast, there are a number of clinical trials underway, with more to follow, each testing an approach to successfully achieving remyelination. Last week, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration designated an investigative neurostimulator from biotech company Setpoint as a breakthrough device for treating relapsing-remitting MS. Now, this designation is made to accelerate the development of devices to more effectively treat or diagnose life-threatening or chronically debilitating diseases than existing approaches might. And this neurostimulator is designed to slow myelin damage and promote myelin repair. Setpoint's neurostimulator is designed to stimulate the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body. It controls functions like digestion, heart rate, and breathing. The vagus nerve also responds to inflammatory signals, triggering a pathway called the inflammatory reflex that reduces excessive inflammatory signals and rebalances the immune system. Setpoint researchers have identified the specific nerve fibers involved in this inflammatory reflex, and they've developed the stimulation parameters required to activate this pathway. The neurostimulator is the size of an oral capsule that you're probably used to taking for all sorts of medication, and it's implanted in the neck through a small incision that's done during an outpatient procedure. The neurostimulator has a battery that can be recharged with a wireless charger, and a physician can adjust and fine-tune its electrical impulses using an iPad application. The device has been shown to be safe and effective in reducing immune responses in people with rheumatoid arthritis and inflammatory bowel diseases. Now that SetPoint has received this breakthrough device designation, their next step will be to work with the FDA to initiate a clinical trial focused on the effect of this neurostimulator on people living with relapsing remitting MS. We'll keep you posted on their progress. The Polish biotech company Poltreg has announced that they will launch Phase 2 clinical trials in the second half of this year to test their TREGS treatment for treating multiple sclerosis. Now, TREGs are regulatory T cells, a type of immune cell that plays an important role in the biological mechanisms that prevent other immune cells from attacking the body's own cells, as happens in multiple sclerosis. Because this immune tolerance is apparently lost in people who are living with MS, scientists are extremely interested in leveraging TREGs as a potential treatment. Poltreg's TREGs treatment uses a person's own T cells, which are isolated from a blood sample, multiplied in the lab until there are millions of these cells, and then infused back into the patient's body. And the hypothesis is this newly formed TREGs army will do a better job of defeating any immune cells that try to attack the patient's own cells in their central nervous system. Poltreg is also developing a type of engineered TREGs called chimeric antigen receptor TREGs, or CAR TREGs, that are being designed as potential treatments for both relapsing remitting and progressive MS. In this procedure, once the TREGs are taken from a patient's blood sample, they're engineered to specifically target problematic parts of the immune system once they're infused back into that patient. Poltreg hopes to launch human clinical trials of CAR TREGs for MS and ALS in early 2025. In past episodes of this podcast, we've talked about the importance of identifying biomarkers in MS. And a potential biomarker that's received a lot of attention is neurofilament light chain, a protein that's released into the bloodstream when nerves in the central nervous system are damaged. As a quick refresher, a biomarker is a characteristic that can be objectively measured and evaluated as an indicator of normal or abnormal biological processes. For instance, if you go to your doctor because you're running a fever, your doctor may do a blood test, and if the results of the blood test indicate that your white cell count is high, your doctor will tell you that you have an infection. That high white cell count is a biomarker for infection. In the case of neurofilament light chain, the hope is that it can serve as an easy-to-measure indicator that could help detect MS, predict disease activity, and even measure someone's response to treatment. Now there's evidence supporting that hope. Last month at the ACTRIMS Forum, an international research team presented data showing that neurofilament light chain was a reliable predictor of future disease activity in people with relapsing remitting MS who are on a disease-modifying therapy. When they evaluated clinical trial participants at 3 months and again at 12 months, the research team found that neurofilament light chain levels were predictive of new or enlarging T2 lesions, regardless of the DMT any trial participant happened to be on. At 3 months, study participants who showed a neurofilament light chain level above the median level were 2.2 times more likely to experience new or enlarging T2 lesions than study participants with neurofilament light chain levels below the median level. After 12 months, that likelihood increased to 3.6 times greater than those study participants with neurofilament light chains below the median level. Further work aimed at optimizing the use of neurofilament light chain levels in a clinical environment is still needed, but it seems that we're getting closer to a biomarker that can predict how well a particular disease-modifying therapy is working for an individual with MS. This will also be extremely useful as a means of shortening clinical trials for potential treatments for MS by demonstrating their efficacy after just a few short months. All good news, and it's news that we'll keep an eye on. Meanwhile, if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Having a reliable biomarker for disease progression is an important step in potentially shortening clinical trials in progressive MS and in reaching reliable outcomes in these trials. This encouraging news is particularly fitting as we're just 2 days away from Progressive MS Day, which takes place on March 28th. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Kevin Reed, who's joining me to discuss Progressive MS Day and to give you a great reason to visit Napa Valley, California this summer. We're just days away from Progressive MS Day, which takes place on March 28th. And joining me to talk about what Progressive MS Day is all about is my guest, Kevin Reed. Welcome back to the podcast, Kevin.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
So let's get right into it. What is Progressive MS Day and what makes it important to you?
Well, it's so Progressive MS Day is March 28th, and it's a day that we can focus on the concept or the disease that is progressive MS. It's different than the relapse remitting. You know, it's a different, basically a different rate of speed that the MS attacks the body. With relapse remitting, it goes, you know, you have symptoms and then you kind of get better and back and forth that way. But the progressive form of the disease is when it comes and it just kind of stays and it smolders and it gets worse. And it's what I'm dealing with. And, you know, I did originally have relapse remitting and then it moves into a progressive state. And so it's definitely affected my life completely. I can't use either of my legs or my left arm. So it's definitely on my mind. And so when the concept of a day came up to recognize it and share the awareness of this specific type of type of MS, I was all for it. And we've been doing it for a few years now, and every year I think it gets a little more awareness and traction. And it really is a day for us to focus on that one specific type of MS and share our voices and stories around that piece of the disease.
Well, you mentioned you were originally diagnosed with relapsing remitting MS. I think that was back in 2002. Yes. And then like 80% of the people who are living with relapsing remitting MS, you saw that diagnosis transition to progressive MS. I'm curious, what are some of the everyday challenges that you face as someone who's living with progressive MS today?
Well, a lot of the challenges come in the form of, the symptoms that arise then and dealing with those symptoms and dealing with those issues that come up. And, you know, I mentioned I don't have the use of my legs. So that obviously I use an electric wheelchair 100% of the time. And, you know, the challenges that come up are around the specific symptoms that people have, whether it's relapse remitting or progressive MS. Those are like every day dealing with, well, how do I, you know, can I reach this? Can I move? I luckily have a great wheelchair that can raise up and I can reach things in the cupboards and things like that. So the challenges that I do have in general, I've been able to mitigate a lot of them using the technology that's out there for, say, assisted mobility devices and tools that I use to, say, open a jar because my, you know, hands and fingers don't work. So you get the technology or the tools that are out there to kind of address some of those challenges that do arise. It's definitely, I've got multiple issues having to deal with the lack of ability to move my body. You know, the nerves get destroyed and then, you know, that's the actual disease, but then the symptoms and what happens because of that, those are the things that I have to then deal with in real life and try to, you know, mitigate however I can. So, it's definitely a constant, ever evolving situation, you know, as far as what I can do. Some days are better than others as well. So the unpredictability of the from day to day, that's definitely one of the challenges layered into all of these other challenges.
It absolutely is. Over the past decade, there's been an increased focus on progressive MS research, and that's largely due to the work of the International Progressive MS Alliance. You and your family have been supporters of the Alliance for years, but when you look at the course of research, what are your thoughts about where we are today compared to where we were when you got that diagnosis?
Well, it's definitely very real that the medications that are available for MS now, they obviously haven't always been there. In fact, I believe the first real major medications came out in the early 90s, I think.
Correct.
And you know, we've built a lot, or they've developed quite a few medications that help with keeping the disease at bay, not spreading, not getting worse. And so that in that research and those medications, I mean, that's fantastic, because obviously we want to control the disease course as much as possible. What we're still looking for are the medications and the therapies that will help remyelinate or fix the damage that's already been done to the damaged nerves. We don't have that yet. So when I think about the research that's being done, like so far, all the research that's been out there and the medications that are out there, they're great, but we still haven't reach that goal of trying to figure out how to fix the damage that's already been done rather than just prevent it from getting worse. And that's one major reason why I've supported the International MS Alliance, Progressive MS Alliance, because we can talk about it, because it's just so exciting that there's global collaboration. And I feel like the larger the problem is, the more in-depth the collaboration needs to be to address those problems. And so they put together a global coalition of, you know, doctors and scientists and patients, you know, the patient voices in there, and they're definitely focusing on the progressive type of MS, and very exciting work, which I'm sure we can talk more about. But I do feel like that collaboration is what's going to get us through this mess and figure this thing out eventually, hopefully soon.
I think you're exactly right. Collaboration, when it comes to solving complex challenges, always wins at the end. And we have the best and brightest collaborating around the world to get some answers and move the ball forward in terms of finding better treatments for progressive MS and finding better treatments that will lead to myelin repair. Really important things.
Right, that's the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Boy, that's what we're after. And I'm so excited to know that you have been affiliated with the Alliance, you know, being on the scientific steering committee in the past. You've really gotten an inside track knowledge about what's happening there. And so that's why I'm so excited to talk to you about it. You know, when we do meet to talk about this stuff, because you've seen it, you know, and you've actually gotten to express some of the things that they're doing to me, and I'm just really, really, I'm impressed. I'm excited about this program and this, you know, what the goal is to end this progressive MS, and you know, getting to chat with you about it is really a great thing. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your inside insights. That's pretty great.
It is absolutely not only a pleasure, but a privilege to do that. And I should explain to our listeners that just about a week ago, Kevin and I got to sit down face to face and have one of those conversations. And we both came away thinking that those conversations are a good thing. So we're gonna try to have them a little more often, I think, going forward.
Yeah.
Before I ask my next question, we have to dive into a bit of Reed family history. Now, you and your family live in the Napa Valley. For the benefit of some of our listeners, that's California's wine country, and it is perhaps the greatest wine country region in all of California. And your family's roots in Napa actually date back to the 1800s. I know your family planted its first vineyard in 1992, and today, Reed Family Vineyards produces about 1,000 cases of wine a year. I'll add that not too long ago, I had the privilege of tasting some of the wines that you and your family produce, and they were really, really good. So now that we have the backstory out of the way, you and your family, along with Julie and Steve Hare, have joined forces to support the work of the Progressive MS Alliance through Crush MS, an event you started 10 years ago. So tell us what Crush MS is.
Sure. Yeah, it has been 10 years. 10 years ago, you know, we were just talking about collaboration. And so I've always known or thought that that's an important piece to trying to figure this stuff out. Back in 2014, I met this woman, Julie Hare, who has MS as well. And I thought, well, we should collaborate. We should do something where we get together and we could do a wine tasting, you know, have a bunch of wineries come to our spot. And it's just a lot of fun. We have an auction and we raise money that is all dedicated to being donated to MS research and to programs that help people live well with MS now. So, we took that ball and we picked up and ran, and we started every year having a successful event. And we realized we not only knew we were doing something good for the cause, but we were having a good time. And I think everybody that comes to our event every year has a good time and shares in that collaborative spirit of, you know, bidding on the auction items and having a great time, learning about lots of different wineries and whatnot. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of fun, but it really is for that good cause. We figured, what can we do? Well, we have a little winery, and we know some other people with wineries, so that's how we can give back to this. You know, it's for me personally. Obviously, I'm dealing with it and want to find a cure and a stop, but also for the, you know, millions of people that have it around the world, and you know, trying to give back however we can. And it's been a lot of fun so far. And we have, I think, moved the needle a little bit. We've been funding the research at Stanford University, where they drew the parallel, not with the Epstein-Barr virus, but, you know, the military study came out and that said that there's this link, but they didn't know what. Then Stanford got to go in and figure out kind of how that link turns into MS, like how that the virus that is very ubiquitous, the Epstein-Barr virus, we all get at some point in our life. We don't always get MS though. So they were trying to figure out, well, what's that mechanism? And they made some really strong discoveries in that area. And we were really proud to, you know, support that research with our fundraiser. So it really does come to being, you know, where the rubber meets the road, and we're saying, you know, we're raising money, but we're putting it where it can actually do the most good that we can see. And that's, whether it's at Stanford or the International Progressive MS Alliance, that's the same way we're thinking about it, is putting our money where it will do the most good, right? You know, right away and visibly. And you were kind enough to write some points about what the International MS Alliance has done, and you describe it as moving the ball down the field, and this is what scientific progress looks like. So to me, when you wrote that, it hit home that is literally what we're after, is, you know, taking what we're trying to do and moving the ball forward and, you know, moving the needle, and whatever other metaphor you want to choose, we're actually hoping to make a difference in this fight against MS, especially progressive MS, because it's even more of a mystery. I think, it's all a mystery, but it's one that hasn't had a lot of attention paid to it. That's another thing that you brought to my attention, is that this alliance has inserted the concept of examining progressive MS on a global scale, and it hasn't been done before. There hasn't been that focus. There hasn't been that attention. And so the alliance has really driven that into a place where action is taking place. And that's, you know, it's fascinating. It's what we need to happen. And so we'll continue to support that as well.
Well, I was fortunate enough to attend Crush MS this past summer. I'm planning to be back this year for the 10th anniversary. And I hope as many of our listeners as possible will join me. If you're someone who's looking for a good reason to visit California's wine country, now you have your reason. So tell me, Kevin, where can people get more information about Crush MS?
Yeah, thank you so much for letting, you know, for talking about this, because the more the merrier. And you can check out crushms.org. That's where there's information, and that's also where the tickets can be purchased. They're not on sale yet because it's still, you know, it's in the middle of the summer, so we've got a little time before we start selling tickets. But you can check out crushms.org and get a little familiar with, you know, you can see pictures of past events and some wineries that were involved. And we would love it if anybody wanted to come to the event. One thing that we think is rather special is that if someone has MS, I give a code for a pretty significant discount on the ticket price, because we want folks with MS to be there as well. So it's not just a bunch of people standing around talking about people with MS. There, you know, we've got people rolling around that, you know, are there because, I mean, honestly, there's lots of fundraisers like the Walk MS, and there are bike rides, and there's, you know, stair climbing, fundraisers. You're not going to see a lot of people with MS doing those things. So it's kind of fun to have a fundraiser that is inclusive and welcoming to folks with MS. So that, and if you do have MS and you want to come and get that code, all that information will be on the website eventually when it's when it's all put together. So that's the thing. Anybody can come. If you have MS, come on out, because it's a community. You know, again, I'm back to that collaboration concept. You know, we're all, I know it's kind of cliche, but we're all in this together. And it really does take all of us putting our energy into it to try to support and figure stuff out at the same time.
Well, I'll be sure to include a link to crushms.org in today's show notes. And if you're someone cool. who thinks you might enjoy a summer afternoon filled with wonderful people, great wine, food, and music in California's wine country, I hope you'll make plans to join me on July 27th for Crush MS.
I heard a rumor that you might actually be doing some broadcasting from there, but that's just a rumor. Nothing's confirmed yet, right?
Well, you know, I'd say don't believe everything you hear, but you might want to believe that rumor.
We'll see.
Well, you know, I remember interviewing you, I think it was 5 years ago in episode 83 of Real Talk MS. And I'm going to ask mm-hmm. you the same question today that I asked you then. I said, today will be the day that someone receives a diagnosis of progressive MS. What advice or words of wisdom would you share with that person?
Your mindset is the most important thing, because MS can attack our bodies, but it really can't affect how we think and how we look at things. And so in dealing with progressive MS, you know, a diagnosis, getting that is like getting hit by a train and saying, well, what the heck do I do now? I think, you know, it's the combination of arming yourself with as much knowledge as possible about it, you know, getting familiar with it, because it was a mystery to me when I was diagnosed. So I had to learn about it and figure out, well, what is this thing? And, you know, it takes some time to kind of get your brain around it. What is going on now? What do I have? And so learning about it is important. But then as things happen, if there are, especially if it's progressive MS, like I said before, like it has to do with the rate of symptoms. And so like if it's a progressive disease and the rate is fast and things are happening to your body, and that can be really overwhelming. And there are ways to make the physical things feel better, you know, with anti-inflammatories and things that can help with that. But I think the most important thing, what I would say to anybody, even if it's, you know, relapse remitting MS or get a diagnosis, is keep your mindset in the right place and knowing that, yeah, MS can affect our body, but it can't affect our spirit.
Kevin Reed, thank you for your commitment to crushing MS. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Julie in Napa this summer. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for your time and all you do for the cause. Thank you, John.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/343. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.